There were four Bible college students that were sharing an apartment, and one Saturday morning they had a knock at their door, and they opened it to find an older man, a bedraggled-looking man with a beard and dressed not very well, just kind of raggedy clothes and shoes that didn't match, and they looked like they were for the same foot even. But he had a smile on his face and a basket in his hand, and he was selling some vegetables. Well, these young men felt sorry for him, and so they purchased some of his vegetables. And the next Saturday, there was a knock at the door, and it was the same man and had some vegetables to sell. And over the course of time, these four Bible college students befriended this man and even invited him inside and found out that he loved God dearly and loved to sing Christian hymns. And so many times when they were together, they would sing together. And as these young men got to know him, they also began looking for ways that they might help their new friend. There was one Saturday morning, they were all in the apartment singing together, and the older man stopped the singing and he said, "You know what? God is good." And they said, "Yes, He is. God is good." And the older man said, "You want to know why?" And they said, "Yes, tell us why." He said, "Because this morning I opened my door and there were boxes full of clothes and shoes and coats and gloves." And the young men just looked at one another and smiled knowingly. And so they said, "That is wonderful." And he said, "You know, God is good." And they said, "Yes." And he said, "You want me to tell you why?" And they said, "Well, you already told us why. Are there other reasons?" He said, "Yes, there are." He said, "Because I found a family who could use those things and I gave them all away." How is it that someone in poverty could be so generous in helping other people? I want to answer that by looking at a scriptural example in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in the context of that passage that Dustin read for us this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I invite you to open your Bibles there as we study the first nine verses together. The Macedonian Christians were known for their giving, yet they were very poor. Let's note them as the poor Macedonians, first of all. Look with me to the first two verses of 2 Corinthians 8, as Paul talks about these Christians in Macedonia as he writes to the church at Corinth. "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality." Notice two things about these Christians in Macedonia, these churches. They were in a great trial of affliction, and they were in deep poverty, in deep poverty. And yet they were very liberal in giving to others. If we study the book of Acts and we go back there, we could look at how Paul's missionary journeys carried him to Macedonia and to some of the particular congregations as far as the New Testament goes, the cities where he went and where congregations were established. There was Thessalonica that Paul would later write to and commend them for their great faith. There was Berea. Berea was in Macedonia. And they were composed of some of those Jews who were more noble than those of Thessalonica, because when they received Paul's word, they examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They were noted for their ability to study. There's also Philippi. And Paul would write the book of Philippians to those Christians there. And he would highlight that church was one that supported Paul on many different occasions. But these are three of the churches, three of the cities in which Paul labored, that he's referring to when he writes to the Corinthians about these Christians, these congregations in Macedonia. And the quality that he's pointing out about them is that they were very liberal in their giving. They were so generous. They refused to allow persecution, pain, or poverty to prevent them from giving when the need arose. So I'd like to call them, secondly, the poor but generous Macedonians. The poor but generous Macedonians. The context here is that Paul was collecting relief for the poor saints in Jerusalem. He makes note of it in the book of Romans, chapter 15. After the Christians in Macedonia and Achaia had contributed toward this effort of helping these poor saints in Jerusalem, notice what he says about their contributions and his purpose in Romans 15. Now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. I want to highlight that word poor for a moment. There's two words in the Greek language for poor. One describes a day laborer, one who would work for the day and be paid and have what he needed to get what he needed. But if he didn't work the next day, then that would present a problem. But there was one word for that. There was another word that was used to describe a beggar, someone who was totally dependent upon the generosity of others. That's the word that's used here in Romans chapter 15. That these were suffering saints in Jerusalem. These were members of the body of Christ. And so he's asking Christians along his missionary journeys and to help with these suffering saints, whether it's a famine, they had experienced famine at one time in Jerusalem. It may be a result of persecution of Christians there in Jerusalem. But it's to this need that these churches in Macedonia had responded. And not only that, they had responded very generously. But notice again in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 8, describing these churches in Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. And what I want you to note here is that deep poverty, there's that second word that's used to describe being a beggar, basically. They're in poverty themselves, and yet they're giving what they have to help these saints, these Christians back in Jerusalem. They're in the midst of a deep trial of affliction. Historians tell us that Macedonia had, about that time in which Paul was referring, had been through three civil wars, and the whole land was suffering because of that. That even the Caesar lowered his taxes for that Roman province because of the poverty that they were experiencing. Not only that, the Christians in that area of Macedonia, we can even read in the book of Acts, were suffering persecution because of the faith. And no doubt that affected them financially, but they're deeply impoverished, but excited and joyful about helping some other folks, some other Christians over in Jerusalem. Notice what else Paul says, verse 3. I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they're freely willing. They gave what they could and even what they couldn't. They gave beyond their ability. Verse 4, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They pled with us, Paul is saying. They begged us to accept their gift to help these suffering saints in Jerusalem. They wanted to have a part in that service to help those suffering saints. And my question is this, why were those poor brethren in Macedonia so generous? They were in poverty themselves. Why were they so generous in their giving to help these suffering saints? And I want to point out quickly five reasons. Number one, they remembered what God had done for them. They remembered what God had done for them. Notice back in verse 1 how Paul, he refers to these Macedonians and the phrases that he uses. Moreover, brethren, we made known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. I want to tell you about the grace of God that's been given to these Christians in Macedonia. Okay, Paul, and how is that demonstrated? And he goes on to talk about their liberality, their generosity. He's saying that's an expression of the grace of God in their lives, the fact that they're so generous when others are in need. You see, when people stop and contemplate all that God has done for them, that's a motivator to be generous with our time, our talents, and our treasures. They're encouraged that to remember what God has done for them. And 8 times, the inspired writers refers to giving as a grace. He's talking about the grace of the giving of those Christians in Macedonia. I like what Mac Layton wrote years ago. The grace of God, so freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, becomes a grace in us, manifesting itself by liberal giving of material possessions, time and energy in the Master's service. The grace of God bestowed on us becomes a grace in us. When we think about the grace that it's been extended to us through Christ, that should mold our hearts into being generous in giving of ourselves, our time, our talents, our treasures to others. Number 2, they were thankful for the help they had received in spiritual things, these Macedonian Christians, and that contributed to their generosity. They had received help in the past, and now they're wanting to help. It's interesting, in Acts chapter 16, Paul receives what we call the Macedonian call. It's in a vision at night. And a man of Macedonia in this vision stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Verse 10 tells us how Paul interpreted that vision. He said, "Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." So they made their way to Macedonia. They continued their journey and they visited these places that we've already mentioned. The ones who had said, "Help us," now are wanting to help others. They had benefited by the church in Jerusalem and those that came from that church originally. They received the spiritual riches of the gospel of Jesus. And so they're so thankful for that they wanted to help these Christians back in Jerusalem that are suffering in a material way. That's what Paul would echo in Romans chapter 15 after he talked about the giving of those saints in Macedonia and Achaia. He said it pleased them, that is the Christians in Macedonia and Achaia indeed, and they are their debtors. They are debtors to the Christians in Judea. Why? Because it's from those Christians in Judea that brought the gospel to them. They were indebted to them in that sense. And the way they found expression of that was, hey, if they're suffering in poverty, we're so thankful for what they've done for us, we want to help them. So they were generous. A third reason is they knew what it meant to be poor and in need. Remember, they're in poverty themselves. They're suffering because of civil war. They're suffering for the faith. And they're impoverished. And yet, though their pockets are near empty, they want to dig down deep and find whatever they can to help these Christians because they know what it means. They know what it means to be in poverty. So they want to help in any way that they can. A fourth reason is that they had their priorities right. They had their priorities right. I love verse 5. Notice with me. "Not only as we had hoped," Paul says, "but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." Their generosity, their liberality, Paul says, goes back to the fact they first gave themselves, all of themselves, to the Lord and then to us. Folks, when you give your heart to the Lord, everything else is going to follow behind it. We're going to want to use our time, our talents, our treasures in service to Him because we've given our whole lives to Him. But do you notice Paul's words here? They gave themselves to the Lord first and then to us by the will of God. You see, the Macedonians were putting the best interest of their brethren ahead of their own self-interest. And so they were unselfish. They wanted to help these suffering saints. And so they gave generously. And I think it's obvious, number five, they did it out of love. They did it out of love. The response of the Macedonians was out of a heart of love. Their giving was proof of the sincerity of their love. In fact, Paul is using the example of the giving of the Macedonians to challenge the Corinthian brethren and to challenge us. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but I'm testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. He's saying, look at how much they loved their brothers and sisters in Christ and how they gave to their need. And he's saying, shouldn't their example challenge us to be generous as well? As I've heard W.T. say in the past, you can give without loving. You can give without loving. But you cannot love without giving. And these Macedonian Christians loved the Lord, but they loved their brothers and sisters in Christ, even ones they didn't even know, but they knew about their struggles, and they wanted to help. So the admonishment, the instruction in verse 7 is, as you abound in everything, Paul says to the Corinthian Christians and to us, as you abound in everything, in particular these areas, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. What grace? It's the grace of giving. Abound in your love. Abound in your knowledge. Abound in your faith. Grow. Grow in all those areas. But he's also saying, grow in the area of the grace of giving. And it all begins, we learn from those generous Macedonians, by giving ourselves to the Lord. Years ago, the gospel of Christ was carried into some remote villages in Africa. And there's one village that the gospel bore fruit, and there were many who obeyed the gospel. Most of the adults in that village. And they were so excited and so on fire and so thankful to have heard and accepted and obeyed the good news that they thought, how can we get the gospel up the river to another village? It was determined they would need some financial means, and yet this was also a poor village. And so there was a circle drawn in the sand, and the members of that village were instructed, bring whatever you can and put it within this circle. And that signifies that you're donating it to the cause. And we will take those things, sell them, whatever we have to do in order to have the funds we need to take the gospel to another village. Well, there was a young man who was very, very poor. In fact, his sole possession were the clothes on his back. And he was so thankful to have heard the good news of Jesus and to now be a Christian. He wanted to contribute. But he didn't have any material things that he could put into that circle. But then it came to him. There is something I can give. And he got up and just stepped inside that circle himself. He said, I'll carry the treasure in this earthen vessel to the village to tell others about Jesus. Now that's a beautiful demonstration of giving yourself to the Lord first. And it only reminds us of what Dustin read for us. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Jesus gave himself for us so that we can be saved. And he's calling on us to in turn give ourselves, give our lives, the totality of our lives back to him and living in his service for his glory. And carrying that news to the next village and beyond. And it begins by giving our lives to him first and then to one another within the body of Christ. It may be that you're ready to respond to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of his life that he gave for you by surrendering your life in obedience to his will. It may be that after studying your Bible, you're ready to confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, having turned from your sin and repentance, and you're ready to be baptized into Christ so that his blood can wash away your sins. If you're ready to do that, or if you need the prayers of the church on your behalf, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?